Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Brian Finley, sports editor for the Union Tribune. Back home, Padres, Yankees, big weekend. Big road trip just completed. Ryan, where would you like to start?
I would like to start with a declaration. I have a new favorite Padre to watch. His name is Luis Arraez. And if what he's done in the last 2 weeks isn't enough, the guy had a drag bunt in extra innings yesterday that I thought changed the momentum of an entire game. I know that probably isn't the case, but he is doing some things as a Padre that frankly makes him appointment television. This segment is brought to you by Hamul Casino. Kick off summer at their annual block party on June 15th. It's a full day of free play, live music, free food, and more. Learn more at HamulCasinoSD.com. Why don't you take me through some of those things, and can you explain a little bit what the secret to his success has been and how he fits in with this lineup now?
Yeah, you know, it happened at the end of the game, so it was huge, but I guarantee you that you're correct. Like, if it had happened in the second inning and the same result where he reaches, roots of runner over, they have a two-run inning, Mike Schilt would have pointed it out, made a point to point it out. Of course, we would have asked about it, but because it was a baseball play, you know, he knew that, you're in the 10th inning, got a runner on second, need to get him over, you need to score. You got Robert Suarez coming in, right? So, and there it was. And then he was rewarded by this perfect bunt. He was rewarded. It was going to take a spectacular play to get him. Instead, they didn't, and he gets his fourth hit of the game, his fourth hit for a second day in a row. He's gone 4-for-5 the last 2 days. He's batting .419 as a Padre. That's 16 starts, 17 games. He came in to pinch hit one time.
Right.
It's remarkable. I love watching everything about him. My question to you is this. Is he more appreciated in San Diego because people like you and I grew up watching a certain guy?
Yes. He has one very specific skill that Tony Gwynn had, right? And again, we're not comparing him to Tony Gwynn. I live, in the Twitterverse and Twitter sphere, I guess, X, whatever we're calling it. Every day I'm hit with a new Tony Gwynn fact that makes me appreciate Tony Gwynn more. But more and more, I'm getting hit with Luis Arraez facts too and comparing him to Tony Gwynn. Let's pump the brakes on that. But I appreciate, I think, a left-handed hitter with great bat control. He reminds me, with some of the things he does, of Tony Gwynn. You know, I saw something or heard something the other day. I think it was on the broadcast. You know, his bat is the same size and weight as Tony Gwynn's. I think he has just injected, to me, so much competence and fun into this lineup since he's been here. You know, and he brings an element that they've been severely lacking for years, I think, which is a true leadoff hitter and a guy who, isn't a feast or famine, power or nothing guy.
Coincidence or not, the Padres' slugging percentage and home runs are down since he arrived. They are scoring more runs. You remember where they went the back-to-back games, including one game where they had 13 singles without an extra base hit. I don't think guys have, I'm now a singles hitter. But right. Combined with the philosophy of Victor Rodriguez, which, you would think hitting coaches this philosophy unless you do have Aaron Judge on your team or some special players. Just try to get base hits. Just concentrate on base hits. But the way that Victor and the staff have kind of taught it, the mantra, the mindset of the team this year is a lot more gap-to-gap, line drives, home runs will come. Okay, and then you throw in Luis Arraez, and I just don't know that it is a total coincidence that since he came and, all right, look, we're going to have this guy, this spark plug, and all we need to do is move the line, right? We're going to, if you're at the bottom of the order, he's going to get a hit, drive you in, or move you over. If you're at the top of the order, he's going to be on. Has it worked out every time? No. Look, Manny's just getting hot, lukewarmish to hot. Fernando, big hit yesterday. That's huge. That's what gamers do. No matter what you've been doing recently, that's what gamers do in the 10th inning, get a double, get the deciding run in. But he has, I think that made him 7-for-30 when Arraez is on base. Arraez only scored 9 runs, been on base counting, reached on fielder's choice, that sort of thing. Been on base almost 40 times, has scored 9 runs. It's like, it should be better. The results should be better, but It's this small sample size, and I keep pounding this in, that it's like this philosophy and a mindset and a way that they're going about it that I do think that that he fits right in, and he actually advances it. It's like, hey, let's go get this guy who's going to help us teach what we're teaching even more.
Yeah, no, I agree. And he seems popular. Mike Schilt said something yesterday about him. Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Mike Schilt obviously praises lots of guys. Part of his relentless commitment to positivity is that everybody's great. But he saved some, I thought, really rare compliment for Luis Arraez. I mean, talks about him being not only a tactician, but a real student of the game, a guy who's, I mean, I don't know if the word brilliant was used, but it was certainly implied.
Well, he said genius, and he genius. Talked about almost like you remember a Beautiful Mind or the memes where, you know, the figures are going by someone's head while they're thinking. It was kind of like what he was alluding to, kind of joking about, that you could see the kind of the brain working, the numbers going. Okay, that's one of those moments, and that's great. I don't mean to just like dismiss it. That's one of those moments, like, you know, a lot of guys look at the iPad, like, you know, and he went out there and to, you know, he actually executed, but like, I don't know. But yes, Luis Arraez is a genius. Sorry for being a cynic there for a second.
Well, to me, there's a presence of mind thing too. Let's talk about that bunt for a minute. And again, maybe I, Kevin, am totally overplaying one thing that happened in one game. But, you know, he's facing what? He's facing a lefty, correct, to start the 10th. You know that the lefty is going to fall off the right side of the mound. You know that if you can kind of get it in that little sort of triangle between the mound, sort of to the first base side of the mound, and if you hit it hard enough, you can get it right there. And, I mean, you know, you talk about the meme of, you know, the numbers swirling behind his head. When Schilt talked about him being a genius, I could kind of see him making that calculation in his head to lead off the 10th, because that's just something he did, correct? This was not something that was signaled in. This was not a sign from third. He just did it.
Right. That's kind of the thing that there's been a lot of things this year that have been heady plays that have not necessarily been because of a sign or a, hey, let's do this, but a thing that they talk about. Now, Luis Arraez, I believe, what I didn't specifically ask, the impression very strongly was this was his choice to go out there and do this.
He has been such a, I think, a spark plug and a revelation in the lineup. You know, if there is a knock on him, or if there has been before he got to the Padres, he's a little positionless. You know, he's played some first, some second. There is now an injury to Xander Bogaerts that the Padres are reevaluating what they're doing at second base. Where do you see him playing the rest of the year? And what does this mean for Jake Cronenworth, who made his first start at second base yesterday in a very long time?
Yeah. I want to say this first. What is very interesting is there was a number of plays in the three games that Luis Arraez started immediately after Xander Bogaerts' injury that Luis Arraez looked fantastic. Now, there had been some plays earlier that you go, okay, I see it, right? Like a little clunky, not great range. He played fantastic those three games, and I think he'll play a little bit of second base. But I think that probably now you're looking at him moving over to first base. As long as that, you know, continues to go well. Jake was turning into a heck of a first baseman. But Jake Cronenworth was a really good second baseman. Mike misspoke yesterday, called him a two-time Gold Glover.
Two-time All-Star.
Yeah. Though he did play first base in the All-Star game. Before he was a first baseman, played first base in the All-Star game twice. But actually, his first start ever was at first base because he was coming in for Hosmer. But anyway, he's been all over, Jake has, and that's a wonderful thing to have. And I think that the transition for him from to second base is easier than the one that Xander Bogaerts made from shortstop to second base. So I think that most often that you will see Jake over there.
Just thinking like a San Diego sports person here, Jake Cronenworth seems to finally have it going at the plate. He's really come into his own. I think that he's as skilled a defensive first baseman as we've seen here in a while. Why mess with something that's clearly working? Is it just simply to put both guys in a better position defensively?
I think it's to put both guys in a better position defensively. And yes, valid question. At some point you have to say, I got two pros over there, right? Like I got two pros. Now, not that Xander Bogaerts wasn't, and I'm not entirely buying that second base didn't play in a little bit, that there was just a lot going on with Xander, and that, you know, it was playing into his offense a little bit, but he says it wasn't. Okay, fine. Valid question, but You're talking about like two guys who, first off, I don't think it really affects Luis Arraez. He's moved around forever. Obviously, he's adapted very well to the designated hitter spot, right? Mm-hmm. And now they've got some guys that maybe they can move. It's not a blessing, but you had such a roster composition that, you know what? Now this does give Manny that built-in day without having to move Luis Arraez out. Or it gives us a chance to put Donovan Solano in. Or, you know, now you got David Peralta there. With Xander out there, it's an easier mix, I think. I'm not in any way saying that they wanted Xander Bogaerts out or that it's a good thing, especially since Xander was starting to hit. Let's be honest, this happens 2 weeks ago and you're like, oh, Xander Bogaerts is gone. Didn't even notice. I thought the offense got better. But Xander is, you know, the promise of Xander and the fact that his previous week plus had been strong makes this a big blow.
Sure. Xander Bogaerts injured. It was the final day in Atlanta, correct?
Yeah. First game of the doubleheader, fractured shoulder. Let's address that for a second, if I could, Ryan. This happens, right? This happens. You get your initial imaging. It's done there in the city, not by your doctors. And they're swelling. And you're looking for a certain something. And you see that, okay, look, it looks like we don't have a labral tear. Seems like his range of motion pretty good. Okay. So they're optimistic and they say that the swelling goes down. You went from x-rays to an MRI. Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. You know what? Looks like labrum's intact. Looks like it's not surgical, but there's a fracture in the shoulder socket. And that's something that you probably just weren't going to be able to see that first day. And now he's out. Gosh, most people are saying at least 3 months before he plays again. Wow. He thinks much less. Players always do, especially a player like Xander. But heck, so are you talking about, August, middle of August? It's almost like you traded for Xander Bogaerts if he's able to come back.
How does one treat a fracture there? Is it a cast? Is it a sling? Is it nothing?
What do you do? It's immobility and healing. The bone has to heal. Now, unless it is a displaced fracture, which they do not believe it is, but they're further exams going, and Xander will get a second opinion. Not anything against Padres doctors or anything, but when you're Xander Bogaerts, you go see a specialist.
You can afford it. Yeah, you can afford it.
You can afford it, and the team understands, and so you do that. You don't want to force yourself back, and that was what it'd be. It wouldn't be the team forcing Xander back. Xander, wants to be smart.
Sure. Look at you using phrases like displaced fracture. Dr. Chow trained you, man. That's good.
Negative is good when you're talking about these tests. And then non-displaced, non is good. You have to remember these things. Yeah, because I'm not very smart. So little tricks.
I remember the sports injury website, Kevin. You don't have to play dumb with me.
When you play, when you are cover the NFL, right? It's a weekly thing and you have a doctor, a gentleman named Trace Longo used to hook me up with the doctors at, he still does, as a matter of fact, up at the Curl and Job Clinic, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're always talking to these guys and you're always having to understand it at least enough. I always would be like, doctor, explain it to me like I'm a dummy. Ha ha, because I am. I would always say that I'm not a doctor. I just play one in the newspaper.
Manny Machado, I mean, to me, again, 5-2 road trip, take 3 against Atlanta, take 2 in Cincinnati, 2 teams. And by the way, the Reds are not playing well, but 2 teams that I think will be playoff contenders, if not playoff. I mean, Atlanta's a playoff lock, I think. The Reds are probably playoff contenders. Take 5 of 7 from 2 pretty good teams. And to me, the big takeaway from this is Manny Machado's heating up. And we've talked about this for a couple of weeks now. It's a process. When he starts to get hot, we can see, and he stacks games like he's had the last couple of days. Getting back to the Manny Machado that you know, Kevin, what do we think?
Maybe.
Okay.
Still doesn't have a home run since May 3rd, 69 at-bats. His OPS is up to .641. The reason that warm seems hot is because you were in ice.
That's true.
He had, in the course of between, I believe it was 3 games, so Monday's opener of the doubleheader and Wednesday, so maybe it was 4 games. Anyway, 4 doubles. He'd had 3 doubles
all year.
No, he had 5 all year, but he'd had 3 doubles over the previous 40 games.
Wow.
Like he had 2 doubles in the 3rd game of the year, then went like 40 games in which he had 3 doubles. And then he had four in like three games.
Wow.
So he now has, now he continued that, got another double yesterday. He has five doubles in the last five games. He has 10 doubles all year. So what I'm saying is this is warm. Now, the Manny that I have seen get hot, 2021, 2022, I mean, it was, and we will talk about the Yankees guys. That's what it looked like. It was like MLB was tweeting about it. It was all over MLB Network. Heck, baseball even cracked ESPN when Manny was hot. A little joke because baseball is barely on ESPN anymore. But, like, I mean, we're talking about a 1,200 OPS over 30 games. We're talking about, like, eight home runs in that span. Now it's, you know, hey, I got five doubles in six games and I'm batting 330 in that span. That happened last year where waiting for Manny to get hot, and he would, and then it wouldn't turn into a Manny. Now, I think there was one 28-game stretch last year where he had like a 950 OPS. Hey, they'll take that, right? That helps you get up. But, and we can use that to seg if you want into what the Padres are about to face here. But, like, I don't mean to be, like, negative about this. It's like, but I do mean to be like, you know, let's wait and see. Like, this isn't exactly scorching yet.
This segment is brought to you by Hamul Casino. Kick off summer at their annual block party on June 15th. It's a full day of free play, live music, free food, and more. Learn more at HamulCasinoSD.com. Right, and you've talked, and we have talked on this show all year, that getting contributions from Jake Cronenworth and Jackson Merrill and Luis Arraez and Luis Camposano and now David Peralta is all makes for great copy. It's a good, it makes for wonderful storylines.
It helps you win games.
It's a wonderful podcast topic, but this team is only going to go as far as number 13 and number 23. Take them the rest of the way because it looks like Xander Bogaerts isn't going to be part of the mix for the next 2-3 months.
Right. You can have nine Jurickson and Profars, you know, this year's version of Jurickson and Profars or seven of them, or you go the Dodgers route, the Yankees route, the Phillies route. And Phillies might be actually deeper than we ever thought, but, and it's you're built around your stars. And if Manny, I contend this, if Manny and Toddy were having the years that they should, and I say should based on their history and their compensation, Padres might have the best record in baseball if everyone else was doing what they're doing.
Right. Because so many guys have hit, and then we'll get into the Yankees real quick. I think, and you touched on this in today's Padres Daily, Kevin, so many of these sort of flyer guys have hit this year.
Yeah, and I didn't even get into. I just got into the bargain basement guys. Didn't get into Profar, Cronenworth, Merrill.
Right, Merrill. But, I mean, you look at at Estrada. He's been great. Robert Suarez has been better than anybody could have hoped for. Matt Waldron, I think, had you said April 1st, hey, here's where Matt Waldron's going to be on Memorial Day. You say, well, Padres are in first place, right? Like, this is A.J. Preller, Padres front office, has hit on a bunch of these flyers, where a year ago it seemed like they went 0-4 2023.
It's a good point.
You know, the fact that they are only a game above 500 with all these guys hitting shows you, I think, just how badly the heart of the order has been struggling for most of the year.
Yes. And it is, that is what defines your legacy. And legacy is important because that also is equated with wins. How did the team you build do? Championships, right. Pennants, division titles, playoff appearances. And I'm sorry, but they're highly dependent on. Now, you know what? I'm not going to say they can't squeak into the playoffs with Manny having a 720 OPS. Because by the way, 720 would mean that he had like a 780 the rest of the way, okay? Because it's that low now. But it's still not good. Still not what you're paying for. But because you only are going to need 86. Last year, what was it, 84, right? You're only going to need 86 wins to get in. That's not that far above 500. I'm not saying they can't do that. But some of these guys are going to start dropping off. Like, I'll just be honest. I am rooting because, and this comes back to Kevin rooting for Kevin. I am rooting for Jurickson Profar to be an all-star because it's in Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great story. Okay. I can't be any more positive about Jake Cronenworth over the years. But like, okay, they need to keep doing this all year if Manny's going to have a 720 OPS. You know, he needs to get up closer to 800, which means a pretty darn good finish considering the start for them to have a shot. And you know, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s by and large had a better year than Manny. I think they're leaning a little bit too much on the hard hits and that, because that's what you say about one of these stars when they're struggling. Right. And it is true. I think they're leaning a little hard on it. It's almost like thou dost protest too much, you know, talking about those things. Yeah. You know what? Tati's been quote unquote robbed a couple times. Yeah. You know what? He's had some good at bats. Did you give him the statue contract for that? Because if you did, I'll take one of those, Ryan. Because I'm trying hard out here, okay? So, look, Fernando Tatis Jr. is a fantastic player and has done a lot to help this team win this year, but it's not statue contract stuff. And you know who'd say that? Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yep. And by the way, you know, exit velo is not necessarily the mark of a great baseball player. Look at Luis Arraez. Look at Donovan Solano. Look at some of these guys who are just hitters, know what to do with a bat, and they've done that. Kevin, I grew up hating the New York Yankees, and here's why. The New York Yankees outspent everybody every year. When they made mistakes, because the Yankees made mistakes, they paid those guys to go away, right? Back before, you know, Padres do that now. Nobody did that back then except for the New York Yankees. This year's Yankees team reminds me of those teams of the mid to late 90s. They are spending like you wouldn't believe, and they're better than you, just in terms of superstar power.
Yep.
It starts with our old friend Juan Soto. Yep. Then you go Aaron Judge. Giancarlo Stanton is back. I mean, this is just a team that that is just killing people, pummeling people.
You are correct. Though George Steinbrenner's son came out and said the Yankees need the lower payroll going forward. So that's interesting. But yes, right now, whoo boy. And I grew up actually, my dad's from New York. I got my indoctrination early. Who came and I grew up here, right? We go to Padre games. I love the brown and gold. Dave Winfield. What happened?
Yankee.
Yep. Conversely, my second team when I was growing up, Padres, because in 1984, I had loved Greg Nettles. Where did Greg Nettles come from to be a part of the 1984 team?
Yankees.
So I'm just saying, like, a lot of history there, and a lot of history there for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. All right. People that are my age grew up. TBS, when it came on and you could stay home sick from school and watch TBS and WGN. That was huge, because mm-hmm. before that it was Saturday morning baseball and it was Monday night baseball. And who was always on? Yankees.
Right. Yankees.
That's what I remember, my Saturday mornings standing there in front of the TV, imitating the Yankees batting stances. Just can't wait. Hey, Reggie Jackson's up. I'll do my chores in a minute. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. like, the Yankees were the team, and I think that there's a lot of electricity at Petco Park, and there's going to be a lot of Yankee fans. It is going to be really fun this weekend. Juan Soto, you think he gets booed?
This is a guy who was their best player last year, and we can talk about clubhouse dynamics, and we can talk about egos and how much money guys should get paid and want to get paid, and we can do that all day. The fact is, on the field, which I think baseball fans care primarily about, Juan Soto was a very good baseball player last year and a pretty darn good one for the second half of the year before that. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. He'll be booed. Padres fans and fans in general, Padres fans maybe more than others, as someone who travels around, boo anybody who's not one of us. We have a superiority-inferiority complex. So yes, he will be booed. I would even say, if I were a fan out there, I'd boo him. And here's why. You talked about the clubhouse stuff. Okay, fine. Yep, maybe a little. Juan Soto's actually hitting the ball this year. Yeah. All right? I tried to defend him, and it is hard to be too down on a guy with a 4-something on-base percentage. But take a look at his stats this year. He's actually hitting the ball and not walking nearly as much. He's a dangerous player. He's the dangerous player that we were promised. And I want to make sure that before we run out of time, I talk about this because I harp on it on the Padres. I compare him to the Dodgers. Juan Soto in May, 8 home runs, a 1019 OPS. That was it. I'm sorry, in April. That was while Aaron Judge, the $400 million man, was hitting 207. Had a 754 OPS. Still better than the Padres guys, by the way, when they're struggling. But now in May, Juan Soto cooled down. Still not terrible. 292 average, 902 OPS. Still okay. Aaron Judge, batting 391, 1475 OPS, 9 home runs in May. And we still got a weekend and a few days to go. That is what superstars do. By the way, they also have Giancarlo Stanton with an 805 OPS, and three guys, Verdugo, Rizzo, and Volpe, have 700 plus OPSs. So that's called star power and supporting cast, and that's how you're the Yankees.
Yeah, absolutely. Will Padre fans boo Trent Grisham?
Oh, let's give Trent Grisham a hug because he's worse than ever.
He has 2 hits this year.
Oh,
2, that many.
Every time I look it up and I see how bad it is, I'm surprised he's still there. So to be honest, I'm not sure how they're using him in terms of, when they need a walk or, defensively, obviously. Because, right. So, yeah, we got great pitching matchups coming up, too, if you want to talk about
that. Yes, yes, absolutely. That's where I was going. Carlos Rodon versus Yu Darvish tonight. Marcus Stroman versus Dylan Cease tomorrow. Clark Schmidt, Joe Musgrove on Sunday.
Clark Schmidt, great New York name. Clark Schmidt.
That is a great name. Who are you excited to see? Because I've got a guy, and it's Yu Darvish. Based on he's got a scoreless inning streak. There's no better way to see if that thing's for real than to put him up against the best lineup in baseball. It's going to be a playoff atmosphere. He's going up against another very expensive pitching addition for the Yankees. I think tonight's pitching matchup is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, 3 straight quality starts for Rodon, who has I've watched him work well against the Padres. I've watched a lot of people work well against the Padres going back in the years. I shouldn't hold that against them. 25 scoreless innings for you has not allowed a start in 24 innings. His 4 starts since coming off the IL. So yeah, that's the one. Dylan Cease looking for a bit of a bounce back against Marcus Stroman, who has allowed 1 run in his last 2 starts. That's 13 and a third innings. And then Clark Schmidt, pretty good, man. I think he's been a huge part while they've been without Gerrit Cole in terms of them picking it up. He has allowed 2 runs in his last 3 starts. That's 19 and 2/3 innings. So I actually am looking forward to seeing Joe, because I made what was like a ridiculous comment that I stand by. It's one of those, if you know baseball, I think you understand what I was saying, but it's still a ridiculous comment. That if Joe wasn't on a pitch count the other night, he could have gone 6 innings and allowed 2 runs. He went 3 innings and allowed 2 runs because he was on a pitch count. But it was classic Joe Musgrove. Struggled through the first 2 innings, allowed 2 runs. I mean, the way he struggled, it was classic Joe that he only allowed 2 runs and then took 10 pitches to get through the 3rd inning. And you go, I've seen this before. He could go the next 3 innings in 24 pitches and you know, ended up with a quality start after looking like, you know, garbage the first 2 innings. That's a really good pitcher right there. And so now look, I know ifs and nuts were, you know, candy or whatever. I got it. If, you know, but like, I think Joe is much better than he looked like, than the line looked like. And he looked like those first 2 innings on his last start, which was Tuesday in Cincinnati. So I'm looking forward to seeing Joe on Sunday.
Sure. This segment is brought to you by Hamul Casino. Kick off summer at their annual block party on June 15th. It's a full day of free play, live music, free food, and more. Learn more at HamulCasinoSD.com. Kevin, I'm going to put you on the spot here, like I do most episodes. Based on your history in that clubhouse and knowing these guys, do they get up for the Yankees?
Well, they have not. Well, they played them last year, and like, yeah, they were. Juan is so good in Yankee Stadium. That had a certain vibe to it. They were in those games. I would say, yeah, sure. They were kind of struggling then, though. They really just wanted to find some wins. I remember there was a lot of optimism still at that point. Look, I don't think it's a question that they somehow get up for good teams. Yeah, like – right? Yes. Here's the thing that's a little different. I don't know that they do as much. I know that the optics, when you do well against the Dodgers and Braves and in between get swept by the Rockies, look like it. But I do think they're far more even this year. I do. And they know, too, that they're going in with their 3 best starters, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think there is a certain confidence, right? And I think that they've got certain guys like that arise. I think the good and the bad of Manny is that every game's just a game.
Right.
And I say the good because it's why he's got the contract he does, because he has had the seasons that he's had and he doesn't get too high or too low. I say the bad because the other players don't necessarily put it together. Like, I don't have Manny's talent.
Right.
Like, I can't just sort of, right? I'm not saying Manny doesn't work hard, but like, Manny could roll out of bed and play third like he does, okay? Right. That's how incredibly talented he is and the work that he's put in to be that guy. You know, Manny could, you know, not lately, but Manny could run into a home run with that swing. Not every guy can do that. I don't know that, you know, it's why I think that it's good that they've surrounded Manny with some other guys to kind of add a little bit of urgency to the season. I'm going off on a tangent there, but I'm trying to think of how to not just go with the narrative of, yeah, you know what? They do. The record says they do. They get up for these guys. I think they're excited about the atmosphere that'll happen. They would love to beat the Yankees. They know that that plays well on a big stage. I'm sure they're going to be a little disappointed in the makeup of the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. Our apologies to Donovan Solano. Kevin, you ever watch those Dave Letterman or Leno, and they run out of time at the end? They go, we'll bring him back. We'll bring him back. We've been meaning to talk about Donovan Solano for about the last 2.5 weeks. And all he does is hit 348, OPS of 814. And we always make a note in our little pregame chat here. Hey, let's talk about Solano finally. Maybe that's a topic for next time when they play.
We're showing a picture of him in the green room right now. Yeah.
Donovan Solano can go get dinner. We'll bring him back next week. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres Yankees 3-game series starts Friday at Petco Park. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.